Please be seated and turn in your Bibles to Malachi 2:6. For those that might just be joining us, we've been covering on this the last prophet of the Old Testament. Last week was the emphasis was that after the people had decided to corrupt the sacrifice by bringing blemished animals for sacrifice, God tells them it's time to repent. To repent and receive God's favor so he can accept them favorably. And that if not, he says, and if not, somebody there ought to shut the doors. Some of these priests should just stand up and say, we're offending God, and shut the doors. And if that doesn't happen, then God was going to go ahead and just use the Gentiles to worship him. Where now all over the world, all the nations of the world would worship God. God was prophesying the Jews were going to lose their witness position, witness people position, and God was going to replace them for a time in the church age with us from all over the world, people worshiping Jesus and being a sweet incense to him. And then he went into chapter 2 and said, you know, it's really the priest's fault. You know, it's you priests. Let me rebuke you. Because you're not, and really, you're not teaching the Word of God. And one of the things that results when the Word of God is no longer preached is that people lose the fear of God. They don't even know what God says. Our sinful, rebellious nature does not want to do what God says to do. The world is that way. And what it takes to change that is to acknowledge that we serve a creator who created us, that everything he said in his Bible is true, that it's for our own good, and there's an enemy of our soul that wants us to do everything contrary to what God says for our bad. See, he hates us. He wants to destroy us physically and destroy our souls so we spend eternity in hell with him rather than go to God, because he hates God and he rebelled against God. And so there is truly a war for everybody's soul. And if our mind is not into the Word of God, who he is, which is contrary to what the world is feeding us all day long, because the world is under the sway of the wicked one. The world is in our face. It's lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Everything about people living a godless life in this world is going after those three things, which are the source of all sin in the world. And if we're just in the world, we're going to start thinking and acting like the world. But if we have the Word of God read to us, taught to us, read it ourselves, believe it, meditate on it, we can truly be inoculated. The whole jab thing. Okay, we gave you a vaccine, it didn't work, we're going to give you a booster. Really, in a spiritual sense, God gave us the vaccine to cure us from sin. But we need boosters all the time. The day that I came to Jesus, I knew very little about God. And if I would have just said, oh, okay, I'm saved. Jesus is willing to die for my sins. I'm going to trust in him. And if I never picked up the Bible again, I'd be just as worldly as I was when I got saved. In fact, I wonder if I'd be saved. Because see, what happens is you get saved, you have a desire to get to know him. And if I would have had the chance going to church, chance to have a Bible, chance to read it, chance to seek people to help teach me, and I just throw it off to the side, then somebody could say, yeah, you sure you're saved? Because when you get saved, there's a desire to get to know and love this God. And if the people, the leaders of the church at the time when I was saved, if they knew nothing about the Bible, couldn't tell me about the Bible, I would have not matured in my walk. And so if I don't mature in my walk, then I don't have any spiritual influence on other people. I'm not witnessing. The whole country goes to pot because there's a famine for the Word of God. And that's really what Malachi 2. And what it's going to do, what's Satan going to do when he deceives people into just living in the world and playing religion, maybe still going to church, but just playing religion, he'll destroy the family. Because however you destroy the family, you destroy the society. You destroy the society. Judgment comes and Satan wins and God grieves. And is society being affected in our world today by the lack of the Word of God, lack of fear of God? Yes, it is. So Malachi 2:6, picking up 2:6 through 8 is what we finished with last week. The law of truth was in his, Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, was Levi. Levi was chosen to be the priest. Their job, their ministry to the people, according to God, was you teach people the word of God. And the first teachers, Aaron, Levi, from the tribe of Levi, the law, was, in truth, was in their mouth. They taught it. They taught the law of God. And injustice was not found in his lips at the beginning. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. How? How do you turn people away from iniquity? By the word of God. It is when people realize, whoa, this is God has said this. And I'm not doing it. I've sinned against him. And that's what makes us call out to God. Call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, I have sinned against you. And look at what's happened. And I want to repent of my rebellion against you, and I want to have everlasting life. That's how we get turned away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed now hundreds of years later. Hundreds of years later. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. How does that happen? By not teaching the word of God? Or by telling people the word of God doesn't say that it's sinful to have same-sex marriages, to be in rebellion, to live together as outside of marriage, to have children outside of marriage? And people, you know, are pastors and other religious leaders saying it's okay to do all that stuff? Yeah. They're doing that today. And see, that's what was happening in the nation of Israel. They were playing religion at the temple, but they were not teaching the people the truth of the Word of God. And so let's turn to Psalm 119:9, which is a parallel passage to this. I mean, Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It is the longest chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And because it says in dozens of ways how important the Word of God is in our life. And so Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So should it be important for us fathers to make sure that our young men, our children, our boys, are growing up knowing the Word of God? Absolutely. Because what's going to happen if we don't? According to the Word of God, he's going to have his natural rebellious attitude towards God, towards you, is going to lead into his rest of his life, and he is not going to cleanse his way because he's going to be living in the filth of the world. Same for daughters. So ask yourself, this is going to be a challenging time today. Ask yourself, am I teaching my children the fear of God? Am I teaching them what God's law says? And the answer should be yes. It should be around the table. It should be talking to them. It should, you know, bringing them here to church as you are. Again, preaching the choir on that standpoint. Letting them know the Word of God. By taking heed according to your word. Then verse 10 of Psalm 119. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, Lord Jesus, that would be true. Can we honestly say that? With my whole heart. There's times where it's just like, oh, Jesus, I just want to get with you. I just can't wait to read your Bible. But then we can let the distractions of the world keep that from happening. And all of a sudden our heart has divided affections. And even that we should confess to God. God, forgive me, for I've allowed the things of the world to have divided attractions. And I know I got to live, I got to raise a family and stuff, but I should have a greater heart for you. Can we all say that? With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Amen. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Pastor Dallas came a couple weeks ago and he challenged us on this, didn't he? Remember? What did he say? He said, go to the dollar store. Pretty soon it'll be $10 store. It was a dime store when I was a kid. And you've got better stuff in the dime store than you get in the dollar store now. But before it turns into $10 store, you better go get that pack of cards. Now, let me ask the question, because what he said is, go to a dollar store, go get a pack of cards, and when you're reading a Bible, like, oh, that verse just touched me, write it out, and then memorize it. You know, that week, that day, whatever. How many people did it? Go ahead, raise your hand. Everybody is so humble here. I don't want the pastor to know that I'm spiritual and I went and actually did that. So that's a sign of maturity there. And that just proves the point to me. You know, guess what? I didn't actually do that either. So, I mean, but I am trying to commit it to memory. It doesn't have to be go in and do that, but we should commit the Bible to memory. And it's good for us because that's what it says. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, because the devil is throwing sin, temptation of sin at our face all the time, isn't he? And so then as soon as temptation hits us, what is it that causes us to not do it when that temptation comes? When he came to Jesus and, hey, turn this rock into bread. What did Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He had the word of God. He was the word of God. He didn't have to memorize it. Oh, wouldn't that have been nice to just be the word of God? not have to memorize it. And so he just said, it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we don't have the word of God memorized in our heart, in our mind, when temptation comes, you'll give in. Especially in this world. So, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Help it be real in my life. With my lips I have declared all judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. You know, we can be so enamored with riches of this world, but what are they? Nothing. They're going to pass away. But what's going to last forever are your relationship with God and the rewards that you have as a result of having a relationship with God. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. God, help us to not ever forget his word. Back to Malachi 2:8. You can read the rest of Psalm 119. Every verse in Psalm 119 is about the importance of the Word of God and the law of God. 2:8, but you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you priests, pastors, Christian men, because again, this isn't just priests, pastors. Really, in the new covenant of the church, we are all the priesthood of the believer. We're all responsible to God for communicating the truth of God's word. And we're blessed as living after 1500s when the printing press was made. Can you imagine what a miracle that was? The first thing printed on the printing press was a Bible. And that allowed every person to have a Bible in their hands, to read it, to know it. And so we can communicate. I don't have to go and have, the one scroll of the law of God in the synagogue in the city, and you have hundreds of people come to listen to the leader of the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue, to tell us what it says, and then they're sitting there memorizing by listening because they don't have a Bible. And sharing it with their family. We can all do this. And so we should be. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before other people because you have not kept my ways but have shown partiality in the law. Pick and choose. Are people I'm talking the church, the people, polls that say, okay, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm born in America. Do you go to church? Yeah, I try and go to church. Do you believe that it's sinful to, that abortion, killing babies in the womb is sinful? Oh, no, I don't believe that. See what I mean? Is that, what? The polls are down to 10%, less than 10% of, if I'm right on the poll, if anything, it's less than this. Are you a Christian? Yes. Are you evangelical Christian? Yes. Do you believe basic doctrines of the truth of the Word of God? And that it's only 10% that actually believe the Word of God. Because they're showing partiality in the law. They don't actually believe what the Word of God says. Rebuke me if I ever tell you, I know it says this, but actually that's not true. And you know what? Your family should rebuke you if you're saying something and it's not what the Word of God says. as a priest of your own house. So they wouldn't teach the truth. Turn to Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. The reason we're going there, and I said this on our first study of Malachi, this is an incredible book because Malachi is the post-exilic prophet. That means that he's after the Jews were allowed to return back to Jerusalem after spending 70 years in captivity in Babylon. God, through the prophets, the pre-exilic prophets, they warn the Jews, you stop sinning against God, worshiping idols, bowing down to the sun god and the moon god and all this other stuff. You stop that or I'm going to bring Babylon to destroy you. The people said, you're kidding, because God would never destroy us because we're the promised people. And then it happened. Babylon came, took them, slaughtered most of them, took the survivors off to Babylon. They stayed there for 70 years. 70 years later, the Medo-Persians conquered the Babylonians. And Cyrus, the Persian king, he said, he actually went to Isaiah, who had prophesied by name that he would come and take over by name 150 years before he comes. And they probably showed him, hey, you're already here in the Bible. You're here from our prophets. And you know what God said 150 years ago? You're going to take charge and you're going to let the Jews go back to Jerusalem. And he goes, you know what? I think I'll let the Jews go back to Jerusalem. And so they went back. So then now post-exilic history starts. And Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther is the history of the Jews back in the land of Israel. So, and Esther is also, there's still not all of them went back. In fact, most of them did not go back to Israel, to the land of Israel. And then there was the prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So there's three history books, and that's why they're way earlier in the Bible. All the history's at the front. But Ezra, Nehemiah, and Malachi were contemporaries. They were living at the same time. So we're about to get into now Malachi rebuking the people for ditching their Jewish wives for pagan women, divorcing them, getting rid of pagan women. But he just says that. He doesn't really explain the culture of what was happening. You get the culture from Ezra and Nehemiah, which is why we're going there. Ezra chapter 9 verse 1. When these things were done, which is Ezra went from Persia to Jerusalem, bringing animals for sacrifice, bringing gold, bringing silver to reestablish the exercise of sacrifice in the temple and bringing wealth back to the nation of Israel. And so when he gets all done, and they were counting to make sure everything that left Persia, everything arrived, no embezzlement, nobody had their hand in the gold and silver and all that stuff. And so just to be honorable and integrity, this guy is, he's a priest. He's a high priest. And the integrity, and he's saying, after these things were done, arriving with integrity, the leaders of Israel came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands. With respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites. The Ammonites and Moabites were Jordan today. The rest of these guys were the different Canaanites in land of the west side of the Jordan. The Egyptians and the Amorites. So when the Bible says the abominations of these people, what is it talking about? What was God saying? The abominations of these nations. It's the idols they worship. The Baals, the Ashtaroths, the whatever else. And what were all those idols associated with? All of them. What are they associated with? Sexual immorality. Every single one of them. Today, they used to whittle stuff to go gaze at. And today it's all on our phones with porn. The abominations of the sexual immorality of the nations around. And as soon as a culture goes into sexual immorality, they're into Satan's sandbox. And as soon as they're into Satan's sandbox, they're going to be destroyed. And so Ezra comes back. He comes as a high priest with integrity and the fear of God. And the people go, hey, Ezra, the people, the leaders, the priests and everything, they're allowing sexual immorality to get into the nation again. They're allowing idolatry again. Now, see, this is so important because they're just coming back in a land after what? After 100+ years earlier, they were allowing all that stuff. And after being warned over and over again that they'd be destroyed and deported into a foreign country, it all comes true. They go there. They come back. And how long did they waste to get into it? Not, they're doing it again. You know, and drunkards, drug users, witchcraft, all that stuff, you know, you read Deuteronomy, the things they do, witchcraft, necromancy, communication with the dead, all this other stuff. You know, Satanism is just going wild in our country, isn't it? Evil and wickedness and stuff pursuing, people pursuing wickedness of the demonic world. Verse 2, for they have taken some of their daughters as wives. Hey, floozy Moabite, I want to take you as my wife. Well, they got a wife. They got a Jewish wife. They got a God-fearing wife. Why would somebody want a floozy wife? Well, figure it out. Because you could say the same thing. This is what wives that are married to men that have been deceived into porn. You know, you got me, I'm your wife. Why do you want a floozy? Why? Because the devil wants to destroy you. The devil deceives people into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life to destroy them. They have taken some of the daughters as wives for themselves and their sons so that the holy seed, you know, God, he goes, let all the nations, Satan owns all the nations. You Jews, I'm calling you to be separate. I'm calling you to be governed by the word of God. I want you to love my law. I want you to be that witness. And so what happens is the holy seed, the seed that was supposed to be that witness, gets corrupted and destroyed. The holy seed is mixed with the people of the lands, the God haters, the porn stars. Indeed, the hand of the leaders, priests, and rulers, politicians, has been foremost in this trespass. Why? Because they care squat about the word of God. They have no fear of God. They don't care what's happening. Ezra 9:3. So when I heard this thing, I tore my garments and my robe and plucked out some of my hair, some of the hair of my head and beard, and sat down astonished. Why? Why would Ezra do that? Because he fears God. Because he knows why he had to leave from Babylon to go to Israel instead of just being born and raised in Israel. He knows because there was a destruction of nearly every Jew that was killed and the stragglers were hauled away. And he knows it was because of all this. And then he gets back. Okay, the Jews are back in the land. Cyrus, the pagan Cyrus, let us go back because he had a fear of the word of God to do what he was told to do by the prophet. And now we're here and we're doing it all over again. And if this continues, the nation is gone. The Jewish people are gone. There's no more witness. There's no more anything. You know, really think about this. The first time you see your children cussing, using God's name in vain, get caught with doing drugs, you know, Satan's elixir of various different drugs to destroy people's lives, running into sexual immorality and whatever else. You know, instead of saying, well, you know, all the other kids are doing it and we'll just do whatever. And, you know, it really should be just rip your... Don't you know what you're doing? You're on a path that leads to hell. So, you know, he just knew. And our country is on a path leading to hell. For those of you that follow Rapture Ready, a couple of days ago, they had a link to a lady, Stacy Langton, Fairfax High School. How many of you saw the Rapture running with her? She addresses a school board because she was listening to an alternate news item about how in Texas, the Texas school boards had allowed this pedophilia perversion books in the library. And so then she looks at her own library for her high school, where kids were going. And sure enough, those books are there. And then she goes to the school board, and she starts to read the graphic pedophilia verbiage out of the books. And the school board wants to shut her down. He goes, you can't say this. You can't say this in public. I mean, I don't even want to say what it says. It was so perverted. It would disgust you. And as it disgusted me. But that's being taught to the kids. Now, how is it that a Texas school gets the same book as a Fairfax, Virginia? How does Texas and Virginia? Do you realize there is a demonic conspiracy in our country by people that hate this country, that hate us and our ways, and they know the way to destroy a country is to destroy the fabric of morality in a country. And they are systematically getting into school boards, getting into everything in our life. They're bringing it into our media that we won't turn off. They're bringing it into our schools. They're doing all this thing to corrupt the next generation so we're gone. And so they tried to shut her down. She goes, you are not going to interrupt my time. And starts keeping on reading. And then the people say, the people are cheering her on. And then they say, if you don't quiet up, we're going to ask you to leave. We're leaving anyway. How could that happen? You know, and some of you parents that have children, you better be doing like this woman. And you know, I've seen two or three different videos like this. You know what it is? It's always the women. Who should it be, guys? It should be the fathers. It should be the men. Maybe the men are under too much conviction that they're in the smut too. You know, schools used to be the first schools. What was the first curriculum book in the country? The McGuffey Reader and the Bible. What was the McGuffey Reader? Taught the people the law of God. And the things of God, the stories of God, the Bible. And now we have the church maybe not teaching the Bible in the country. The families, the fathers not teaching the Bible in their homes. The schools teaching their kids anything but. There's not a mention of Jesus, or not a mention of the Word of God, not a mention of the law of God at all in the public school system. And what do we think is going to happen? So when I heard this thing, I tore my garments and my robe and plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard and sat down. I've gotten mad too, but I just can't grab it. So we need to ramp it up, everybody. This is the exhortation. Make sure your children know the law of God. How many of your children know the Ten Commandments? Ask yourself the question. And then ask your family or your children, what's the names of all the people on the Seahawks team? Which one can they do better? Which one has their heart? Then everyone who trembled at the words of God, verse 4, then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive, the transgression of those who were carried away captive because of idolatry, and now they've come to do it again. That's what really it's saying. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Go to verse 13. By the way, we're going to see what Ezra does about them gathering to him. It's Ezra says, they gathered to me. And then Nehemiah tells us what he did, what happened after they gathered. And you know what it was? They read the Word of God. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Oh. Can we be rejoicing about that? But we should all say as Christians, humble. You got to be humble to become a true believer in Jesus. And you know what I deserved from God for what I had done in my years of being in rebellion against him? I deserve to go to hell. And everybody here deserves to go to hell. And aren't we? And the more we realize, he didn't send me to hell. He actually let me live long enough to respond to the Word of God that was taught to me by people who feared God, and enough to learn the Word of God, to share with me, to let me have that mixed with the faith that God, of me just wanting to go, God, save me a sinner. And now I rejoice at that, and I'm glad He didn't send me to hell. And that makes us in love with Him and have given us such deliverance as this. He has not He has let us get back into the land. Should we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people committing these abominations? Answer, no. Should we again? You know, God delivered me from the filth of this world, gave me a hope of everlasting life, gave me the light of His scripture. Should I again go back to the ways of the world because it's so easy, because it's at my fingertips, because it's the way the world is? It's like nobody cares. The answer, no. Would you, God, not be angry with us until you had consumed us so that there would be no remnant or survivor? If we keep down this path, the Jews are dead. And it was only the continuous judgment of God, misery that was coming as a result of their sin. By the way, how many of you have started going on a path of sin in your life that it really worked out well for you? Okay. So, and we don't get spanked like God would spank the Jews. And so, well, as Christians, we get spanked because we are His. He spanks us. You go on a path of sin, you're going to get spanked. But see, the rest of the nations, they do what they're going to do. They worship their idols. They have sexual immorality, STDs, out of wedlock, sacrificing their children to the gods of Molech, to the abortion industry of their day. You know, they do all that. They do all that. But when the Jews start doing it, they get spanked. So God left a remnant that's here to this day. With this background, let's go back to Malachi 2:10. Have we not all, believing Jews, one father? Because this isn't universal. Haven't we all, Ammonites, Moabites, everything, have one father? No. He's talking about we Jews, we have all one father. Has not one God created us? Those nations around us, they worship whatever God they want to do. But we have one God. We believe in the true God, the Creator God. Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah, they were living when they returned to the land. It was mostly all the tribes went into the area that had been the tribe of Judah down by Jerusalem. Judah has dealt treacherously. And an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution. What is that? Marriage. Which He, God, loves. He loves it. Why does He love a believing man and a believing woman, a Jewish man, a Jewish woman coming together in holy matrimony? Why does He love that? Because if they fear Him, they love His law, they teach it to their children are going to learn the fear of God. They're going to pass it on to the next and the next and the next, and there's going to be a witness on this world forever. And because it typifies that God wants to be married to us. He wants us to love Him as He loves us. He's inviting us even in this generation. He invites us, will you marry me and come out of this corrupt and evil dark world? Which He loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. You have treacherously, how could you Jewish men go and bring some floozy into your homes and all the destruction that's going to cause to your marriage? And 2 Corinthians 6:14, not in your notes, and I'll just emphasize for time, I'll just say you should read that, put it in there. It says, do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. Now the Jews, to get married in the Jewish nation, it's just, you pick your tribe. You know, your daughter would grow up and goes, I want to have a husband. Yeah, you got 12 tribes to pick from. You know, and now in the Gentile world, when the church came, we have all the world. We're not marrying into the tribes of Israel. But one thing it says in the New Testament Corinthians, it says, don't marry that guy that doesn't believe in God. If you do. You know, if you don't, then go ahead. If you're a churchgoer, that doesn't matter. You got to believe in Jesus, or you're unequally yoked to believe in somebody else that's not a believer. Don't be unequally yoked. Because what is a temple of God, which is what you are, if you're a true believer, the Holy Spirit's inside you, why would you go off with a floozy as a guy? Or why would you marry a guy that wants to worship idols, the things of the world? His whole life is nothing but idolatry, just because he smoozes you and says, oh, you're beautiful and I love you so much until I get you in the sack and then I'll go to somebody else. And people get deceived and destroyed. So Malachi and Paul, 1 Corinthians was Paul, was saying, men have corrupted God's institution of marriage by marrying foreign women. When America was a Christian-based country, most of the people in the country really just had a knowledge of God and a fear of God, didn't they? And you know what was really bad back then? Was divorce embraced? No, it was terrible to get divorced. My parents are divorced. It was happening. Again, that was right when it was really flying in. There's always been divorce. But it was still a taboo thing. Being a single parent was taboo, having children out of wedlock. What was the prison population compared to now? Do you know that we are the most imprisoned people in the face of the earth? We're just the prison population. When I asked the prison population when I used to be able to go in, they're still not letting us in anymore because of COVID. When I used to go in, how many of you have both your parents still living together in marriage? Nothing. No, usually not a single hand would go up when I'd ask a question. Because God knows the family is the strength, it's the unit. A husband and wife who love him, teach the law of God, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, don't covet your neighbor's stuff and all that stuff, would keep them from wanting to be a problem in society, and so then they don't have to go to jail. But then when a family gets blown up and there isn't that impact of the Word of God or the hypocrisy of what they've seen in the Word of God, then all of a sudden it just lights them off and they go into the things of the world. Can, unless God restores it all. So what is it now? Well, I mean, most children born in America that have the privilege of being able to be born in America, because they weren't killed first, are coming into this world in a single-parent situation. You know, but the divorce rate is way down. You know why? Nobody's getting married. You know, wow, the divorce rate's bad. Kevin, what do you mean? I saw those statistics. The divorce rate, yeah, because nobody's getting married. They're living in fornication. Oh, I use that word. Does anybody, you know, see what I mean? For anybody, oh, Kevin, fornication. You know what it means? It means sleeping together outside of marriage. You don't hear about that today because of what Malachi is saying. Judah has profaned the words holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet he brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. Let him be cut off. If anybody is playing church and marrying a floozy and bringing that in, then let him be cut off from the nation. He was saying, get them out of the nation. They're not Jews. Because if we let this cancer be inside the Jewish nation, it will destroy us. And we're going to see as we go into it would happen that the children wouldn't even know the language of Hebrew. They'd bring in a Canaanite or a Moabite woman and they would bring their language. And so she's in the family, he has children, and the children learn the Moabite language. They don't even have Hebrew. If they can't have Hebrew, they're not even going to learn the Word of God. Malachi 2:13. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Now, why is the altar being covered with tears? Verse 14. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the, and I'm going to say Jewish believing wife, because here's the context. The context is, because the Lord has been witness between you and your Jewish wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. So the weeping, it could be twofold. It could be the woman going to the temple and saying, God, my husband has gone the way of the world. my husband has allowed somebody else to come into our house. And to, because he's just enamored with how she looks, how she acts. And he's abandoned me, the mother of our Jewish children. And I'm crying out to you. And it also could be the husband saying, you know, going and doing his little crying to the priest. You know, my life's falling apart. I found out my kid's running off with girlfriends in the middle of the night. Or he's doing drugs, or doing this and doing that. You know, God, what do you think is going to happen if you let Satan in your house? Everything's going to just go nuts. So sin, rebellion against God, rebelling against his law, brings misery. So, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and your wife. He sees what's happening. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. Now again, Nehemiah and Ezra are the same time. In fact, we're going to see Ezra is back in the text of Nehemiah. They're the history books of post-exilic time. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square. When, remember when Ezra said, everyone who trembled at the word of God assembled to me. So now this, that was in Ezra, this is Nehemiah saying the same thing. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the 7 months. So the whole nation that has the fear of God and just goes, wow, Ezra, we messed up. What do we do? Let's have a Bible study. Let's read the Word of God. And this is on the feast of Rosh Hashanah. This is New Year. The Jews just had it 2 weeks ago. Probably the first time in years. You know when they took the Ten Commandments down out of the school? What year was that? 1980. Before that, schools would have the Ten Commandments. You know, growing up in Littleton, Colorado, never saw the Ten Commandments, so we were ahead of the time in corruption where I was. But I wish while I was waiting in the line, instead of using my quarter to just take the cement out between the bricks in the lunch line, I wish there had been a plaque there that says, thou shalt not. Might have been a little bit of a help to me. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday. Before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. You know, this is one of the reasons we have Sunday school here, because we see that the Word of God is written. It was proclaimed to people who could understand. And we know that kids can't understand. And it says that they were attentive. There was complete silence and attentiveness. And there wasn't sound systems or anything else. They're wanting to teach the Word of God. And the attentiveness to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which was made for that purpose. Go to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people so that they could hear. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Some people make a big deal of that. You can't read the word of God unless people are standing up. I don't do that because it'd be ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. So up and down, up and down. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen. We should bless God. We should bless the Lord. While lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Because they're hearing, wow, what are they hearing? Man, have we been sinning against God. We are bringing destruction upon our people, bringing destruction upon my family. Also, other high priests, I'll say, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense to it and helped them to understand the reading. That's the mission of priests. It's the mission of pastors today. It's the mission of you as parents, as a priest of your home, dads, to teach the children so they understand what God is saying. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest, and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God, and do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of God. You know why? You read the book of law, Genesis through Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know what you find out? You know, I'm blessing you. I'm going to keep you. You're my people. But you don't do the things of the nations that are around you. You don't go after the immorality. You don't serve their gods. You don't sacrifice your children. You don't get into homosexuality. You don't get into, you know, witchcraft. You don't get into all this stuff. Because if you do, I'm going to discipline you with this. Your crops are going to fail. Your weather's going to be messed up. You're going to lose your finances. You're going to go into war one way and flee 10 ways. And you're going to be indebted to the nations of the world. You're going to be having all this destruction. Then finally, I'm going to have you carried away captive into another nation. And then when you call out to me, I'll bring you back. And what would you do if you're back in the land and you're doing it again? You'd be wanting to weep, wouldn't you? But see, they're weeping in repentance. And so now Nehemiah and the priests say, no, you've acknowledged that God is right and you're wrong. Have the joy of the Lord. Rejoice. Don't be condemned, because God wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Satan can deceive you into sin. He can start to destroy your life. You can wake up to that sin. And as soon as you do and you want to repent to God, you know what Satan's going to do? You dirty scumbag. God can't use you. He doesn't love you. Wants to throw you into hell, whatever else he's going to say to bring condemnation. What you have to remember from Nehemiah is, no, I can turn away at any time from the devil and serve Jesus. And I can, the joy of the Lord is what's going to be my strength. But he resists the proud. God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, send portions, and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. And then you know what they did? Turn to Nehemiah 13:23, and I'll summarize what happens. The people had a repentant heart. And you know what they did? They go, wow, the next feast that comes up is the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Sukkot, where they would remember that God delivered them from Egypt slavery, and they were in the wilderness. So Jews to this day, in fact, tomorrow is the last day of Sukkot in Israel in the calendar this year. They're doing the Feast of Tabernacles right now. It's a 7-day feast. And they're just remembering God delivering them from the slavery of Egypt. And so what they did is, oh God, we want to remember like never before, since the days of Joshua. They did it better than it had been done since the days of Joshua, hundreds of years earlier. God, we want to remember you delivered us from slavery. And then they separated themselves from the idolaters. You know, hey, you Ammonites, Moabites, whatever else, you don't live here. This is our country. Get out. Remembered the history of God's mercy. Then they reiterated the entire history of how God had delivered them. And we should do that. We should remember the history of what God has done. And then they made a recommitment to the covenant with God. And then Nehemiah goes back to Persia. He leaves to go back because he was the cupbearer for the Persian king. And he originally asked the Persian king, can I go back to my homeland? Because I hear they're in trouble. Their gates are torn down and walls are not built. And so he comes and helps the Jews build the walls and stuff. And then he goes back to the Persian king. And then, after a time, we don't know how long, he comes back again. Do you think everybody's repentant? Do you think everybody's still walking in the light? In those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod. So he comes back. I saw Jews who had married people from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah. They couldn't speak Hebrew, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. You know what, how does this apply today? We can let the Moabites, Ammonites and stuff right into our house, can't we? Yeah, you children, I got some stuff I want to do on the computer. Go watch a cartoon. Go watch this, go watch that. And you know what? You're letting the language of the Moabites come into your house if you're not paying attention. If you let them just watch the world, play the games of the world. You know what the games of the world, a lot of them are just God-hating, Christian-hating, Bible-hating narratives and the games that kids are playing. That's the language of Ashdod. And then all of a sudden you're going to, wow, kid, you know, child, son, daughter, why are you speaking the language of the Ammonites? Well, because you brought the translator. You brought the language experts into my life. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them and pulled out their hair. Now, see, that's what I could do because, I he was bald because he had to pull their hair out because he couldn't pull his hair out. Pulled out their hair and made them swear by God, saying, "You shall not give your daughter as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons for yourselves." So is this a constant problem? Is this a forever problem that we have in the world today? And so how long do we have to be diligent? The rest of our life. And then did not Solomon, chapter 13, verse 26, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these? Yet among many nations there was no king like him. He had the greatest wisdom. God gave him the greatest wisdom of any man besides Jesus, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. Should we then hear of your doing all this great evil, transgressing against our God and marrying pagan women? Okay, now, how many of you men are as wise as Solomon? Not me. And so you know what we have to do? I mean, let's learn a lesson. The wisest man given wisdom, but God didn't force him to be obedient to God. He doesn't force us to be obedient to him. He had all the wisdom, and yet he compromised in the area of foreign women. And it destroyed him. And actually led to horrible misery in the nation of Israel. And so what do we have to do? We have to be less wise than him in the wisdom that he had, and be God-fearing and Jesus-loving to the point that we can say, "I know what those floozies are trying to do to me," and then just kill them. We had this discussion at the men's retreat. You know, I was telling people, how is God, by his grace and the fear of God, kept me from being a porn addict? And the answer is, I use the word of God to say, don't give an occasion for the enemy to destroy your soul. All right, you know, don't give an occasion to sin. And so what do I've never, you know, this is me. What do you got to do? You can do what you got to do. I don't get cable TV or satellite. And what about you miss the games? You miss this, you miss that. I watch too much antenna TV anyway. And I'm not going to get stuff that would tempt me with shows that could have floozy women destroying my life. And so, I just don't do it. And I don't care. I don't have a phone. I don't have a smartphone because I'm dumb. And I could easily fall into sin. I could just do what I know is happening to a lot of people. And so I do it for that. There's a lot of other reasons. I want the government snooping on where I am. And I don't want... I have all kinds of things. I don't want to just turn into, I don't care about you anymore because I'm texting into my, I'm updating my Facebook or whatever. I want to have a relationship with people. And so there's lots of reasons. And when I'm exposed to the barbs of porn, like Fox News homepage, oh, you know, Hollywood floozy so-and-so, you know, Bikini Bod on the beach, you know, going somewhere. And you know what that is? It's saying, click here and die. And I literally sit there and I go, I literally say to myself, click there, die. Yeah, oh, it's innocent. It's just somebody in a bikini. Oh, yeah, sure, that's what that's all about. Satan's not smart enough to realize that that click leads to that click leads to that click. Of course. Yeah, I can play. The Bible says, Proverbs says, the word of God. Proverbs says, it's a fool who thinks he can play with coals in his lap and not get burned. But see, some of you guys think, oh, I can play with this. As long as they're bikini bods, it's okay. And then you get the next link. Oh, wow, what happened to her top? Oh, and then you're dead. You're dead. I realize, and see, the thing is, I realize I go down that path, I destroy you. Then I can't share with conviction these things to you, which is what my job is. And you know what? Pray for me, because, you know, does that mean I've got this nailed and it'll never be a problem? No, it's a problem every time I get on Fox News. or any of the other websites. It's a daily thing. No, no, no. Is Satan going to? I'm a normal man. I can have temptation like anybody else. And then the final thing is that I've seen so much destruction. I know, you know, some kids, they can watch a brother put his hand on the burner on the stove. Mom says, "Don't touch the stove," and then they put their hand on the stove, and then see, I could say, "Oh, your hand is burnt. I'm not going to do that." And so I have the benefit of all the horror stories. So I don't need to burn my hand. I've seen people with their burned hands. Their family's destroyed. And so I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful for that additional thing. But guys, we're living in a time we can't be like Malachi. We'll close now with 15, going back to Malachi 2:15. "You've dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion, your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? Why did he put them together as one? He seeks godly offspring." Like I said, you got to have children that are raised in God, not in the Ammonite, Moabite, perverted world. You need to have people that God fear. "He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth." You've got a believing wife. Then we are to stick together no matter what, for the sake of the children, not having hypocrisy, and especially not for the husband or the wife to run off with somebody of the world. And that destroys the family. "For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garments with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, 'In what way have we wearied him?' In that you say, 'Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them.' Or, 'Where is the God of justice?' You have wearied the Lord." When somebody says, "Well, the Bible says you shouldn't sleep together." That's so old-fashioned. You know, outside of marriage, that's so old-fashioned. That God doesn't really care. He's not going to judge. You're not going to have to answer to God for that. And God's sitting there, "Oh, you guys weary me." Because you know what? Everything about the law of God associated with our relationships with one another is for our good. It protects women. It protects them. It protects children. It lets them grow up with a mommy daddy. It lets them grow up being taught the things of God so they can be spared from living a life of sin and rebellion against God and getting into jail or messing up their life. And so we, the church, is the priesthood, and that's our job and that's our ministry. And it's certainly a good time to be enforcing it in our own minds because it'll go good. So if this, I know that this can be kind of a tough study here, but again, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're saying, "Yes, Kevin, that's the Word of God," and it is the Word of God, it's not Kevin, that's what it says, then what I need to do is to agree with God, agree with Him, and worship Him, and say, "God, I've sinned and I rebelled against you, and I want to now repent, and I want to do what you've told me to do." And then the Holy Spirit is going to say, "Well, then don't be bummed out. Rejoice in the Lord, and then move on, and do Sukkot like you've never done it before, remembering how God has delivered you from slavery, and worship Him and follow Him until the day you die." And that's what He's called us to do, by the grace of God. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray for every soul in this room, as the world is just so full of temptations and snags to try and deceive us into doing their thing and to just change what you have said into a lie of what the devil says. And I pray that you would help us to truly fall in love with your word, to let what you say rule supreme in our life, and that, God, we could truly be a witness that our children, we pray for a protection of our children, to protect them from the government school system's lies and perversions that are sneaking in through the works of the devil and those who follow him. Protect us, Lord. Even use us as salt and light in those school board meetings to to try and get this filth out of the libraries, which are going to corrupt the minds of our neighbors, that are going to turn into perversion and affect our family because they don't know God, they don't fear God, and that you would just help us, God, to be a salt and light in this world and to love you until you take us home. In Jesus' name, amen. The venom of death, which when we sinned against God was going to kill us all, was destroyed when we bow the knee to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I want to die to myself and live for you. And then the venom is taken away. And we're going to rise with Jesus. And it's actually taken out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or those verses. God bless you. Keep you in his care. I would encourage you, if God has been speaking to you, guys or women, just get off with God and make it right so you can walk in the joy of the Lord. God bless you. Keep you in his care. Amen.